Good morning to you all, both here in person
and joining us on Zoom. My name is Janet and I'm a member of the Stuart team here. If you're joining us for the first time, please do make yourself known to us after the service and join us for squash, tea, coffee and conversation in the hall after the service. We would love to get to know you. A reminder that all are invited to our New Year party this coming Friday between 6 and 9pm, starting at the John Wesley Room, followed by a simple meal in the hall, and then ending with a barn dance led by Derek Wilson. We'd be grateful for any offers of desserts for the meal. Big thank you to Rockfish for leading our music today. And now it's a great joy to welcome Reverend Claire Haynes, who's joining us for sharing our worship. Claire is the chaplain and welfare coordinator at Christ Church, and we congratulate her on her new appointment as new vicar at Iffley Parish Church. So, wish you well. We're delighted you're here, Claire, and look forward to hearing what you have to share with us. And now a prayer is a call for worship. Generous God, we come to worship, each with our own gifts to offer to you and to one another. Hear our songs and words of praise as we bless your name. We come to worship, each with our own concerns to offer to you and to share with one another. Hear our silence and our intercessions as we bless your name. We come to worship, each with our own faith and doubts, to offer to you and to encourage one another. Hear our passion and our prayerfulness as we bless your name. Amen. And we're going to sing Singing the Faith, number 44, Come On and Celebrate.
Come on and celebrate, 'cause you're the glory, we'll celebrate.
And now a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the love and blessings you give to us each day. We thank you that you know us and are with us as we go about our daily lives. We are sorry when we try to avoid following you, when we ignore your calling in our lives, when our busyness drowns out your still small voice and we attempt to go our own way, and when our actions prevent others from responding to God's calling in their lives. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Mel's going to lead us.
I don't know if you want to come down here. Come and gather around here. I'm going to sit on the step. So I'm sorry if not everyone can see me. If you want to bring, do you want to bring one of those little ukuleles with you? There's some ukuleles over there. So because we are, Wesley Mem is a church with lots of musical talent. And not just Rockfish, but Rockfish is amazing and we love having Rockfish. But generally, Wesley Mem is a church that embraces music and encourages it. And in Rainbow House, I pretend I can play the ukulele. I can play enough chords for nursery rhymes, which is three chords. And I enjoy going in and playing with the children. And one of the things I always do, and Joe can back me up on this, well, I say always, I try to tune the ukuleles before I go in. So at least we start with, if you strum it, you get a nice tune. Now, some of these this morning, I did not have time to tune them all. So we'll be able to tell, although they're probably not too bad. The trouble is, toddlers enjoy the knobs on the end. So I remember wanting to fiddle with them when I was younger as well. So the ukulele should go something like this. Dum, 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 dum. That's really it. So you can check. Do you want to check from the top? Dum, 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 dum. You sort of hold it like a guitar over your knees. That's it. Well done. Well, they sound not too bad. They sound not too bad. Now, I do like to try and tune them, but sometimes I don't because I'm in a rush. And I think, oh, it's all right. I'll just, they're nearly in tune. It'll be fine. And you can guarantee that if I do that, there is someone in Rainbow House who can play the ukulele. And in fact, I did it on Friday. I rushed in because it was all a bit odd. And do you want to keep them still just for a minute? And I rushed in with the ukuleles, not having tuned them, thinking they're probably okay. And one of the mums said, oh, if you've got one in tune, I'll play along with you. It's like, ah! So I'm sat in Rainbow House tuning them quickly. Anyway, there are basically three reasons that I always try to tune them. One is that you get a nice sound, even if you just strum. The second one is because you can guarantee there's going to be a professional musician in there if I don't. And the third thing is actually, it's good for the ukuleles. Now, I have so many ukuleles because I started off going in with two into Rainbow House. That was a terrible idea. The commotion, the tears, the screaming, it was not good. So that's why we have so many. And we're just about okay. But I have one extra one. I'm here. And this is a ukulele that I have never tuned. And I've kept untuned for just such a time as this. And this is what this one sounds like. Well, it's kind of got a character of its own, hasn't it? But anyway, now the reason I haven't tuned this is because when you first get a ukulele and you start trying to tune them up, it's actually really hard because you start doing it and you might get to what you think is the right tune and the right note, and then it very quickly it goes back down again. And you'll try it and you'll do it and you'll think you've tuned it and you'll play a song, and by the end of the song, it's gone terrible. The notes are all in the wrong places, and so you have to tune it again. Now, this one was one that my dad... it's so hard not to play them, isn't it? This is one that I was bought for my birthday, and it's possibly slightly more expensive than these ones were. And when I first got this, every time I tuned it, it went off. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. How do I tell my family that the ukulele is no good? It's going out of tune so quickly. But the more you tune it, the more it stays in tune. And actually, this one has been tuned since I came back. But when I went away for Christmas, I forgot to take it home. And it was left here for 2.5 weeks. And when I got it out the bag to play it in Rainbow House, it was basically fine. I just needed a tiny little adjustment because it stayed in tune, because it's got used to being tuned and all the strings have kind of got, they know where they should be and they're stretched and it's fine. So it stays in tune. Right, this is the point. So the point is that actually we need to get in tune with God as well. We need to, as a church, but as individuals, stay in tune with God. And we're going to hear some stories about people that recognised God in Jesus. And we're going to hear the story in church of a young person who heard the call of God. They didn't even know it was God, but they were in tune with God. They could hear God's voice. And there was an elderly man who wasn't in tune with God and couldn't hear God's voice anymore, but he realised who it was that was calling the young person. And so age is nothing to do with being in tune with God. We can all be in tune with God. It just takes practice. And it might feel at times that we're getting nowhere. And it might feel that, oh, it's hard work. But the more we tune into God, the more we'll feel, the more we'll get used to it. And we will be able to feel in tune with God more naturally. And that's what we should all be aiming for. So I will keep trying to tune my ukuleles, and I will keep trying to be in tune with God myself as well, and I hope that we can all do that as a church. Let's pray. Loving God, we pray that we will find ways in which we can make the space to learn how to be in tune with you, so that we can feel your heart, so we know what your will is for our world, for our community, and for our lives. And so that when you call, we can hear you and we can respond. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, we're going to play again. Would you mind putting the ukuleles back over there so they're all in the same sort of place? And you can ding along if you want to. We are going to sing with Rockfish leading. So Rockfish back up there. Number 78, give thanks with a grateful heart.
Because he's given.
And now, as the junior church go off to their own activities, we say the blessing, the Lord be with you. We're now going to hear the readings, so Frank and Malcolm are going to share with us.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's very good to be amongst you, and thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here. So before moving for my curacy, we used to live in Horsepath, just beyond the ring road and behind the mini factory, if you know it. And the village has two central buildings. One is the Church of St. Giles, and the other, on the other side of the road, is the village shop and post office run by Vipin and Jayshree Patel. And as I was moving away, I heard rumours that the post office had been closed, because Mr. Patel, formerly a pillar of the community, had been putting his hands into the till. And I confess, I did nothing about this. I didn't go and talk to them. It seemed odd and unlikely, but we were moving away, and who knows what is truth in these things? I now know the truth, as do and I also. So many in the village were kind and supportive to Mr. and Mrs. Patel. Others bullied and vilified them. They even, I heard, placed a cross outside his shop and home and put a wreath on it with R.I.P. Vipin onto it. They were prosecuted and in 2021 acquitted, but like so many others that we've been hearing about this week, haven't received a penny and so can't retire. So we've been hearing stories like these all week, haven't we? And particularly since ITV aired that brilliant Mr. Bates versus the post office. And if you haven't seen it, I commend it to you. And if you've been living under a rock this week, I preached to the college chapel and some did confess that they had no idea and heard nothing about it. So if you have heard nothing about this, over 900 sub-postmasters were charged with false accounting, fraud and theft because of a faulty technical system, and many lost their livelihoods, their standing in the community, and some even their lives. And for years, these people have been trying to make themselves heard, and nobody seemed to be listening. Not the help desk that they were calling, or the corporation that pursued them, or even all the politicians they were appealing to. And it took a drama like this to finally wake everybody up to what's been happening in these communities. And we've woken up to this huge injustice, probably the worst corporate scandal of our era. And it's been a national epiphany in some ways. And an epiphany is the season of the church that we're in at the moment. And it's like that kind of light bulb moment, that aha moment, that realization. As an aside, I've been trying all of yesterday and the last few days. I wanted to have an epiphany since New Year that I'd had, like a sort of a light-hearted epiphany. And then I realised that I spent all the last few days trying to have an epiphany about an epiphany, and I didn't have an epiphany. So I have nothing there. But in this season, we consider the manifestation of God in the person of Jesus. And we hear how numerous aha moments ordinary people have had their lives transformed and changed by encountering Jesus. And in our Bible reading today, we have three aha moments as people who realize God is calling them in various different ways. In our Old Testament reading, we have the wonderful story of Eli and Samuel. And in the Gospel, I want to focus on Nathanael. So the story of Eli and Samuel may be familiar to you. Samuel was that longed-for son of Hannah, who you may remember went to the temple. She couldn't conceive, so she went to the temple every day to cry out to God. And she cried at one point so hard that the elderly priest Eli thought she was probably drunk. And this child eventually came, Samuel, and she promised that she would offer him to the temple. And as is her promise, Samuel was given to live under Eli's protection. And he was working in the temple. His job seemed to be to guard the holiest space of the temple. And this is where he was, where he was sleeping, in the place where the Ark of the Lord was. And so Samuel was literally asleep when he was woken up by this voice. And it was the voice of God, but he didn't recognize it. And it comes to him four times, very persistent, four times. And the first three, he didn't understand who was speaking. He assumes it's Eli. You wonder whether perhaps Eli was the only person who ever spoke to Samuel. Perhaps Eli regularly called out for help in the night. He was an older man. He might have been used to this voice calling him and having to go and help him with something. But whatever, Samuel doesn't recognize who is calling him. And why should he? He's never been spoken to by God before. And he gets up. He's enthusiastic, isn't he? He gets up each time and he says, "Here I am." And each time he's sent away. And it happens three times, and it's only on the last one that Eli works it out and tells him to go back to God and say, "Speak, your servant is listening." And there's a difference, isn't there, between hearing and listening. Samuel heard a voice, but he wasn't actually listening to who was speaking to him. I'm often blamed by my three sons for not listening. I don't know any parents here might recognize this. I'm distracted, there's all things going on, and they have a lot to say. They're all adults now, actually, but they still talk quite a lot. And often I kind of zone out and I'm sort of hearing, and I do that sort of yeah thing. But now they're grown up, they know exactly if I'm listening to them and when I'm not really. I'm sort of, I can parrot the last thing they said if challenged, but I haven't really heard them. And listening is hard. And I love this idea of being tuned in to God. You know, this is such a great image of being tuned in. It's difficult to listen. We have to learn how to listen to each other, but also to God. And we know what it's like, don't we, when we've been heard, when someone's really listened to us. And we also know what it's like when we're not heard. The producer of this ITV program, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, said she thought it had hit such a nerve in the nation because she says it stands for all the ways everybody feels unheard. So Samuel hadn't yet learned how to listen to God, how to hear God. The Bible says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And this listening as a skill develops through practice, through contemplation, Sometimes we need guidance from our elders, from those who are further on the journey in listening spiritually to us, and contemplative exercises can help. And one thing is true, though, it's impossible to truly listen whilst doing something else at the same time, isn't it? We have to set aside time for that. And I wonder whether that's why God spoke to Samuel when he's lying in bed at night, when there's nothing else going on. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then to Eli, the elderly priest, who also needed an epiphany, an awakening. And for Eli, this came through the prophetic words of his young prodigy, Samuel. Eli spent all his days in the temple, taking care of the life and work of this sacred space. But despite all this, it didn't seem to bring him closer to God. It says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And from the passage just before this, it's quite an understatement in the life of Eli and his sons. It seems that his sons had been doing just a thing our poor post-submasters had not been doing. The sons were scoundrels and thieves, we hear. They'd been waiting for the temple offerings to be given, and they'd been going and taking the meat from the offering when people would come and bring meat. The sons had been taking the meat for themselves. And they did this in full knowledge of their father. And he makes a feeble attempt to try and stop them, but he wasn't able to. And so the message that Samuel is to give to Eli was a difficult one for Eli to hear. God says, I am about to do something that will make both ears of anyone who hears tingle. And I love that. It comes just after this reading, that idea of tingling ears when you hear something true, but it's an uncomfortable truth to hear. And the message that Samuel has to pass on to Eli is, I am about to punish the house of Eli from beginning to end because his sons were blaspheming God. He did not restrain them. It's tough. And all credit to Eli that he encourages Samuel to speak up and says, speak up, whatever it is, I can hear it. Prophetic truth tellers like Samuel are not often popular, but they're doing the work of God. And I wonder whether that Alan Bates, the chap who calls out for truth for these sub-postmasters, had this prophetic voice in many ways. He spoke the simple truth, even though that was unpopular, and he brought an injustice to light. Surely the work of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wake us up. And if we're honest, sometimes we might prefer to stay asleep. I confess there are many issues that I don't really want to wake up to because it's uncomfortable. And in our gospel reading, we see another character who experiences an awakening to truth, Nathanael. Jesus is gathering his disciples and he's already recruited Andrew, Peter and Philip. And then Philip goes to get Nathanael and tells Nathanael what they've been experiencing. But Nathanael's first reactions reveal how he's kept from seeing truth, even when it's right there in the person of Jesus. He says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael can't believe that the Messiah could come from a backwater, small town place so far from the center of things. And his prejudice almost keeps him from seeing Jesus right in front of him. But Jesus sees Nathanael. He calls him And he says, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Philip says to him, come and see. And so despite all these very human failings from Samuel, Eli, and Nathanael, God comes close to each one of them. And he reveals himself to each one of them in different ways. And each one of them is called to serve. And each one has an awakening. Jesus sees and hears them. And just like that, Jesus sees and hears each one of us. Each one of us is called by name in some way. And perhaps we're invited to wake up in some way as well. And the challenge is, that what is it that we want to wake up to? Because sometimes it's hard, because it means that we might have to do something about it, or change in some way, or love people that we might find it hard to love, or to confront an injustice we might prefer to ignore. And so I wonder who we might relate to in these different encounters and characters that we've heard about today. Who is it that we're challenged by? Is it Samuel? The young Samuel who's physically and spiritually woken up as he learns how to listen to God and, despite being young, begins his prophetic ministry. Do we feel that we're asleep to God in some way? Perhaps we feel that we wouldn't have a clue what God sounded like if he called us in the night. And so perhaps God might be gently challenging us to wake up, to hear his voice lovingly calling us into his service. Perhaps he has something unique that only we can say, some injustice that he wants us to call out, something that's burning in our hearts, something that makes our ears tingle. Or perhaps we feel more akin to Eli, tired in faith and going through the motions. Perhaps God is waking us up to the fact that we also have something to offer and to share with others. Perhaps like Eli, we could be guides to those young in faith. Perhaps we can speak wisdom into their lives. Perhaps we can see God speaking into the lives of others, even if we can't see it in our own life, and we can say that to other people. Or like Eli, do we need to wake up to a particular injustice that's happening under our noses in our neighborhoods? I wish I'd done more in Horsepath at the time, gone round and asked more questions. Or might we be like Nathanael, not noticing Jesus right here with us because we think he couldn't be possibly in some backwater, little, normal, ordinary place as with us in our own lives and with it, whatever it is that we are doing? Because that's exactly where Jesus is, with each one of us, calling us by name into a life that's awake, awake to God, awake to others, and awake to ourselves. And it's a challenging life, but one that's far better than being asleep. And it begins with us saying these simple words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. We're going to sing now, I, the Lord of the sea and sky, which has those words, here I am, Lord, and I have heard you calling in the night.
prayers of intercession.
The response to the bidding, "Your kingdom come," is "Your will be done." Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let us pray. In faith, let us pray to God our Father, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, who calls us, is always already ahead of us, yet meets us graciously where we are. We know your name because of your generosity, the riches of your grace, and unfailing love. May we know in all our uncertainties your faithful presence, which travels to the earth's end and beyond. As we face the future together, however challenging, may we know it as your future and know that your rich promise to be with us is the greatest gift of all. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, who calls us, may we be blessed with the knowledge that we are fully known and loved. May the shared work of your kingdom, announced by Jesus as justice and freedom, inspire us, hold us, and give us strength. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God of peace and compassion, we pray for all impacted by the escalation of conflict in Israel and Palestine, for all who are mourning, for all who are fearful today, and for what may lie ahead, for all traumatized and re-traumatized by what they have experienced. Enable us to stand in solidarity with people of peace. May your spirit bring peace and healing to your troubled world. God of justice, as we pray, stir up your love, rekindle your hope, and strengthen our spirits that we might be to the world as you are to us. A loving, gracious, merciful, humble servant. Where there is conflict in our churches, communities, and the world, we pray that we may actively work for peace. In our society, where privilege is too easily heard, we pray that we may listen to people who are marginalized. In the name of the life-giving God, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for those who are ill or anxious at home or in hospital, and in the silence we remember those known to us. We pray that we will continue to live our lives thoughtfully and with respect to others we meet. We pray for those whose lives are filled with fear and despair. Draw near with your saving love and bring healing and hope. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God of glory, we rejoice in the communion of saints. We remember all who have faithfully lived and all who have died in Christian hope. And in the silence, we remember those known to us. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them into the fullness of your eternal joy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We conclude our prayers by saying the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So our final hymn this morning is Singing the Faith 673, Will You Come and Follow Me? And during this hymn, we will take an offering. We know that people give in lots of different ways, so there's no pressure. The card reader that's usually at the back is now in the vestibule temporarily while the lighting work is being done. I know one or two of you like to use that. Lord, we thank you for these gifts to go to your work. We thank you for all that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen.